This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome, my friends. I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. I really enjoy hearing from you, the listener. Today's guest on Hemp Present is Alyssa Lee. Cannabis for Children International was established as a 501c3 nonprofit organization in Ohio in July of 2019. Alyssa Lee founded the organization and has personal and professional experience with severely ill and disabled individuals. Her own mother, born in 1924, contracted polio as a child, and Alyssa grew up as a care provider. In 1996, she achieved her AAS in business management at Clark State. She has 20 plus years of marketing experience with her consulting firm, Professional Management Services, and is a former publisher of the e-newspaper Cannabis News US. With a 40 plus year history in the cannabis community, Alyssa uses her knowledge to spread awareness and advocacy and education, which is precisely why I invited you here to tell us more. Welcome, Alyssa, to Cannabis Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Vivian. It's my pleasure.
Absolutely. To start off, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your organization and its mission?
Our mission is to improve safety awareness, to expand the education about cannabis use, and that's both on the medicinal and the industrial sides, and then also to expand that open communication, which has been bound for so long. So we're finding that we have networked all parts of the globe at this point, trying to make an impact of those factors and expand the ability for us to grow this as an industry.
You yourself are a seizure patient and the parent of an adult son with mild cerebral palsy and autism. Before we dive deeper into the work of your organization, what role did your own family health experiences play in your motivation to start Cannabis for Children?
Definitely the caretaking provisions that are available through cannabis care. Having a mother that was crippled with the polio and lived till she was 84. So both my parents lived till they were 84. Being able to apply that into elder care, being able to apply that to pediatric care and everything in between, what an opportunity to step in and be involved in that networking. So definitely my own experience as a caretaker is what inspired me to move forward with Cannabis for Children International.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people say that there's a role for cannabis to play in people's lives from cradle to grave, potentially. Do you agree with that?
I agree there's a potential there, definitely. And I'll tell you what I've found is that each one is individual. So yeah. There's things that we can apply this to and really make a benefit in healthcare. And then there's other situations that we definitely need, you know, surgeries, we need pharmaceutical cares, we need other applications. So it's not the cure-all, but definitely can be applied through nutrition and medicinal purposes and definitely industrial.
So what kind of successes has your organization experienced so far?
I'm very pleased to have a wonderful board of scientific board that helps us when we have questions or want to expand our learning further. We have 15 members right now in our scientific board from all parts of the globe. We also have just formed an education group, again, international education group, to look at some of these barriers in communication and how to establish a learning system for families that we can improve that, and really looking forward to that. So those are two of the accomplishments that I really feel good about, along with our state representatives here in the United States that volunteer their time to help families network as well.
You know, the name and even the concept of cannabis for children are, for many Americans, I imagine, fairly controversial, and I assume can evoke great consternation and the gnashing of teeth at face value. But I imagine it's also a great conversation starter. One of the mantras of prohibitionists have been for decades, what about the children? And what do you say to people when you encounter that attitude? It seems like a great opening to me.
I'll tell you, that's the reason it's called Cannabis for Children, just because that starts a communication immediately, whether it's accepted or denied. It's out there openly once you say our organization's name. So it was purposely put there. And again, when we look at some of these children that have severe illnesses, and I'm going to use just Dravet's again as an example, these are multiple seizures, 10, 20 a day, hospitalizations, rescue medications. And we know now scientifically that cannabis care does reduce those seizures in Dravet patients. We need to move forward with this. So let's not fear it anymore. Let's learn and find out how it can be applied to our children.
Speaking of Dravet syndrome, I've had a parent of a child suffering from Dravet syndrome or some other form of epilepsy on this show, requiring medical cannabis to stop or reduce seizures, from the United States, Great Britain, New Zealand, Australia, Ireland, South Africa. The only thing different about their stories has been their accents. The name of your organization, the formal name, is Cannabis for Children International. I imagine this is an international movement. And where does America stand in comparison to other countries as far as the concept of cannabis for children?
I'll tell you, it's wonderful to see the movement that's being made in Canada. And I sat into a discussion of looking at cannabis care being covered somehow by health insurance. And just the thought that that would come true would be so beneficial to families. So we're in the United States quite far behind that. We don't even have all our states legalized for medicinal care at this point. We look at the UK, which is suffering greatly with a lot of political situations there in regards to cannabis care. However, there are some small research studies going on there. Germany, I've been reached out from Ireland, Scotland. There's just so many opportunities worldwide to bring the information forward collectively so that the physicians and our hospitals can apply it. It's just finding that common ground and moving forward with it is kind of what the United States needs to do now.
Earlier in our conversation, you mentioned industrial use. How does industrial use come into the picture for the cannabis for children concept?
Well, I'll tell you, as soon as I hear industrial cannabis, I think jobs. I think learning opportunities. I think income for families. This is truly an opportunity for industries to grow, to build eco-friendly systems and products that we can bring forward that will allow future generations to live better. I don't know about you, but here where I'm at in the Ohio area, you can't walk down any creeks or rivers without finding hubcaps and metal and debris all over the place. Our environment has definitely been poisoned by lack of care. And when we can apply hemp into the industrial side, it will show a lot of soil remediation, a lot of benefits for development into fuels, into plastics that break down easier, into concretes. And these are things that our children will value because it's less pollution on the earth that they're going to live in.
Yeah, I really identify with that statement that you just made. You know, we're leaving a legacy of a trashed biosphere to our children's children. In fact, just this last weekend, I went out with members of my community, with volunteers in my community, and we cleaned about a mile and a half of trash and debris, really focusing on discarded plastics, because we all know that these plastics are going to break down into microplastics. And here in Seattle, in my community, they're going to go down the drain and end up in the Puget Sound, in the biosphere, causing havoc, with sea life and what have you. And they're going to be there for like ever, practically. And of course, you know, this show is Hemp Present. So we've had many shows about biodegradable hemp plastics and all the potentials there. So, you know, you're really, really striking a chord with me there. And the other thing is that, you're talking about creating jobs, and you know, that's, children are directly impacted by the livelihoods of their parents and their class situation and their living conditions and everything, which is, has a huge economic, direct effect. So it's really, you know, people are going to hear cannabis for children and they're going to think medical marijuana, but really this is a holistic kind of pervasive concept, right? That in my feeling, cannabis/hemp, really has a kind of a tentacle in almost every aspect of human activity.
It does. And, you know, our children are going to get educated about this. It's how we go about educating them and what the purpose behind it is. And it's certainly not to cause them to be in a state of euphoria that is an excuse for lack of growth. We don't want to create that. We want to create a reality of what's possible for them. And again, we circle kind of back to the medicinal care. We're looking at studies now that are showing benefits that say that cannabinoid therapies are slowing the growth of cancer. And again, if we can find ways to boost the immune system and slow those growths, perhaps we can find something that we can bring forward to help remediate what's our poor soils and our poor water and our poor air has done to our health.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really all connected, right?
Exactly.
Diet, lifestyle, environment, recreation, medicine. It's really all part of one giant paradigm that impacts our health, our mental health, and I arguably our spiritual health. Would you agree?
I would agree. And it's interesting that you said that, because I'm just sitting here reflecting on the Native American Association that I've been networking with, that's trying to bring forward their own identity into the hemp and cannabis industry. And I think about how at one point this was a plant that was used very heartily and probably gave nutrition to their people and gave medicine to their people and gave shelter. And to be able to bring that full circle back with that spiritual grace would be wonderful.
I am speaking with Alyssa Lee from Cannabis for Children International. We're going to take a quick break and come right back for our second segment. So don't go anywhere. We got a lot of great conversation to come.
Time to roll out for the people that let us Hemp Present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Elevate your everyday with that Shuggies feeling, with the sweet taste of Shuggies. Add a cup of Shuggies to your morning coffee. Ah, how sweet it is. Shuggies infuses cannabis and cane sugar to make it the perfect sweetener with benefits. Make your happy hour happier with a dunk of Shuggies in your drink. Order your Shuggies now at shoggies.com or find it in dispensaries throughout California. Whenever you crave a little sweet, pick up Shuggies, the sweet, sweet take anywhere treat.
We're back to Hemp Present, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
We're back on Hemp Present with Alyssa Lee. Alyssa, you kind of spoke a little bit about doctors and our medical establishment and cannabis as a potential treatment for a variety of conditions for children and others. In your mind, where's the medical establishment today in terms of cannabis as a safe and effective therapeutic agent for children with certain conditions and as a potential alternative to some dangerous pharmaceutical narcotics in treatment? And I know it's not an either or. And what, in your opinion, are any primary obstacles that might exist that need to be overcome to gain greater acceptance by doctors? Because it, at least in my experience, it's still a little bit controversial.
Well, and I'm seeing two sides of the coin, and that's what a blessing is to be in the position that I'm in. But I see doctors who desperately want to apply cannabis care towards patients, but they work in a medical facility that forbids that type of treatment. So basically they would lose their job and have to reestablish themselves. So they're kind of have their hands tied. On the other side, I see that there's a medical industry bringing forward interest. And this is coming through universities and courses that are being offered now to learn more. We're all kind of learning and growing together. But to see these university courses being brought forward definitely tells us that there's medicinal interest for further studies there, and that these doctors that are pushing so hard to have these studies do have some qualified information to offer and to contribute to the collective understanding. So it's a matter of bringing those doctors forward and having them validate the cannabis care. And once we get more doctors validating the cannabis care that they're seeing, instead of having that taboo that it's forbidden, but basically saying, we know this patient is coming in with chronic pain, and now they're saying their pain is lessened to a 3 from a 7, and it's cannabis care. We know this. Once we start validating that, then more doctors could understand the patients that come in that are cannabis care patients.
Right, right. And I understand that the university, well, that the DEA has just kind of changed a longstanding rule that the only cannabis that could be used for scientific studies had to come from the University of Mississippi, I believe. And they just opened that up because I heard from some researchers on the show that they didn't necessarily like the quality of the one source that they were able to get. And now I think maybe commercial use quality and you know, market quality cannabis is going to be used for research. And that is probably a big advancement. Do you agree?
I do agree. And I, you know, I think about that, then I say, okay, well, I want to know about the region that this particular, you know, plants are coming from, because we do have values. You know, a pear located here might have different health values than a pear where you're located at. And we truly need to understand these values of the environment is adding to the cannabis, so that we can get the best quality that treats these conditions.
Yeah, I mean, just on a consumer level, we've seen that with wine, right? That wine from different regions has very distinct and different qualities, right? And why shouldn't the same be with cannabis, and be it the terrain or the environment, the moisture, you know, all of the above.
Right, days of rain, the sun, you know, so many factors that are there, insects that come and, you know, intermingle with them. You know, we need to learn as much as we can about the values that we get. So again, asking for that cooperativeness amongst the industry to come together and really validate what's happening, I think will be the best for the next generation.
Speaking of cooperativeness, you advocate for a, quote, cooperative care approach with a pharmaceutical paradigm. Can you explain that a bit? What does that cooperative care approach mean in that context?
What it means is basically that if we expect to be respected as the cannabis industry, then we have to show the same respect for the pharmaceutical industry. And I will tell you, I've reached out to the leading pharmaceutical industries, and they've all decided to connect and network with me because they're seeing that cannabis care is providing benefits. Now, there's funding available to do these research studies through the pharmaceutical industries. If we're cooperative, we can bring this forward for humanity. It's not a preference of either or. It's a cooperative opportunity for our better health care.
Yeah, and in many instances, I assume that cannabis can be used in conjunction with or to complement more traditional or conventional treatments, right?
Definitely. And you know, number one for me to think of, again, we look at the Dravet's of the seizure syndrome, but also we look at cannabis care or cancer care. And we look at, you know, people who have chosen radiation therapies and chemotherapies and using the cannabis to help mitigate those symptoms of treatment has been a blessing for many families.
Some people might say that a child may become dependent upon cannabis. How do you address concerns about abuse potential?
Substance abuse and chemical dependency is primarily through behavior disorders. And I think that mental health care needs to be brought forward in those cases to look at potential influences that might affect cannabis use. Again, I think about alcoholism or use of even tobacco. When those substances are withdrawn from the body, it's a very harsh withdrawal from the body, usually, if it's overconsumption of any state. And when you're talking about children with alcohol or tobacco, any consumption of a child would be overconsumption. But when we look at that withdrawal from the cannabis care, we're not seeing such harsh withdrawals. So we know, and the risks are not as high as some of the standard treatments that our children have been facing.
And of course, it's probably important in that conversation to point out that there's really no overdose risk, no lethal amount of cannabis. It's not a factor, which is different from a lot of potential medications.
Well, I'll jump in there and say the symptoms of cannabis overdose would also cause potential hardships on a child that was severely ill. And what we're looking at then is vomiting and dehydration. And sure. When those conditions start to be applied, we often see high-risk situations come from that. So again, nobody's died from it that we know of. Nobody say directly that, but the vomiting and the, dehydration without being treated properly does put our children at high risk.
I certainly don't want to dismiss the concept of cannabis overdose, because I have personally eaten too many brownies a couple times at a Grateful Dead concert, and I got really, really sick. I took too much, and man, it was anything but pleasant, let me tell you.
I've never had, in my 40 years, I've never had any type of cannabinoid overdosing or any of that type of experience. But, there's a lot of new edibles, and it's interesting that you said brownies, but there's a lot of new edibles that I understand have quite strong doses that, stomachs can't quite take well, and vomiting is a common thing now.
Oh yeah, my heart was racing, and I was cold and sweaty, and I felt like I was going to die, frankly. And I knew I wasn't, but man, it was just terrible. People need to be very careful. And when you eat that edible and it's not kicking in, give it some more time before you eat that second one, man, because you can make
the big mistake. Yeah, it takes a couple hours sometimes for those edibles to fully metabolize in the body. So based on your needs, or, when the pain starts to ache, if it's early in the morning, then you take it as soon as you can in the morning, start your day. But if not, wait it out and see when your body starts to feel the necessity for it, and then treat yourself. Like you said, half the brownie.
You want to self-titrate, because you can always take a little bit more, but you can't take a little bit less than you've already taken, right?
That's right. And once you've taken too much, you have to wait that out. Have to go and hydrate as well as you can and flush that out of your body. But again, we're not looking at any lethal impact of that, just very uncomfortable.
Yep, that is totally true. We have about a minute before the next break. What kind of support or services does your organization, Cannabis for Children International, provide to families of children seeking cannabis as medicine?
One thing I'm really proud of is our friends and family group there on Facebook, where we've been able to network with families of children with all different types of conditions. And again, we're finding that a lot of adults are coming to us as well to find us as that umbrella of support. So that is an opportunity for us to also share resources for special services, such as medical equipment providers that offer nonprofit services for families, and share other resources. So I'm very happy about our network, and it is growing.
All right. It's time to roach this segment and go to another break, and we're going to come back with our final questions. See you in a minute.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
I'm back with Alyssa Lee. Alyssa, this is just really fascinating. You've done so much in just a couple of short years. I'm so impressed with your organization. I wish we had more time. It goes so fast. This is such a huge and deep subject. So I'm just wondering if there's anything that you would like to leave our listeners with, anything that you would like to add that we haven't covered while we still have a couple of minutes left.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, I had a conversation the other day with someone and they said three words that just stuck out to me so strongly. And it says, truth moves forward. And I thought, yeah, there's really no way to stop what's going on with the cannabis industry. The truth will start moving forward regardless of the legalities around it. And people will start to understand more and more truth, the more education they can get. So I am somewhat concerned, though, as I see the industries comparing psilocybins with cannabinoids and thinking that we need to be a little more cautious because we're educating people about two different substances. And I understand they impact the endocannabinoid system, but their effects on the neurological system need to be studied very closely before we say that they're in the same grouping.
Yeah. There's kind of a lot of people jumping in on the kind of psychedelic. Well, psychedelics are kind of going through what cannabis has gone through in the last 10 years with acceptance in a large way. But there's also people kind of coming in to profit off of it pretty aggressively. And I think that there might be a little risk there. People moving too quick, do you think?
I think so. And I do think there's medicinal applications to those psilocybins in small doses and so forth. But to say that this is actually impactful the same way that cannabis care is, I don't think that's correct. I think there's a lot of difference between the two species of plants. So I'd love to see more research be done on that subject before anyone actually claims that it's affecting the system the same way.
We still have about a minute before I have to wrap up the show. You mentioned how we go about educating our children. Do you do any education directly with children?
Right now, we do share some educational information, again, in our friends and family group. When we have research information that comes forward, we share that on specific conditions. And we're always welcome to look up research information that the most we can find. You can reach out to cannabisforchildren.org. Send us a message to any one of us, and we'll be happy to start looking for more information to help.
Alyssa Lee from Cannabis for Children, and once again, cannabisforchildren.org. Thank you so much for your important work. It's just so impressive, and thank you for being on the show.
I thank you so much.
All right, keep moving that truth forward.
Thank you.
All right. That concludes this installment of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find your voice and speak up for justice because resistance is fertile. See you next week, folks. Stay strong.
Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.